Now we gain perspective on the complexities of youth incarceration in Wisconsin and what may prevent youth in the system from thriving. There are nearly 100 incarcerated at the state's youth prison, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, and about the same number of youth under state community field supervision. Call in about Wisconsin's juvenile justice system, your experiences. They're welcome at 800-642-1234. Nikki Olson is a youth justice advocate, founder of Wisconsin Alliance for Youth Justice, advocating for and educating families and youth in the justice system. Nikki, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the 10-year-old Milwaukee boy who is accused of fatally shooting his mother in November following an argument they had. How do you feel about him being charged as an adult?
I was so surprised that Milwaukee actually charged him as an adult. That was a choice by a prosecutor. I don't know which one. They did not have to do that. I hope they change their mind or use a mechanism called a reverse waiver to move him back to juvenile court. Wisconsin, I have known for about 10 years that Wisconsin statute says prosecutors must file charges in adult court for kids starting at 10 years old for a handful of charges. And these charges involve, homicides or attempted homicides. So I knew this. The last time we used it was in a small county in the fall of 2018. There is one other state in the United States that allows such young kids to be charged as adults. And they haven't done this in practice. We have been moving away from these harsh treatments, not as quickly as most other states. However, we have been moving in a different direction as well, treating like kids. So I was really surprised that we're doing this. And it's not the 90s. The 90s, this wouldn't surprise me. This is when the laws went
tough on crime.
Exactly, yes.
So you feel, what I'm hearing is you feel like we're, you know, in this instance, at least reverting back, like getting tough with juveniles and trying them as adults. Go into that a little bit. Why do you believe that punishing children the same way we punish adults does not foster public safety?
Well, for one thing, it doesn't deter any other kids. They're not paying any attention to this sort of thing. Even if you tell them, they're not going to be paying attention. Also, a lot of the kids that are involved in the justice system or violate the rights of another person, they have a lot of either trauma or they have disabilities or they have mental health issues. So they're the kids that are really the most vulnerable kids in our communities, and they have the highest needs. And when they cross over into these behaviors that we don't want, they probably have needs that are not being met. And with this 10-year-old boy, it sounds like he has severe mental health problems. So in the adult system, there's rehabilitation is a piece of the adult criminal legal system. However, retribution is also one of the pillars and goals of the adult system. It is punishment. It is vengeance. We're talking about kids. It's vengeance against kids. It's payback for some harm that they did. So instead of payback and harming kids, further traumatized kids, further not meeting their mental health or needs if they have disabilities, we're harming them and making things worse for them. So that's kind of pointless. I don't know what that has to do with safety. And when they do get out, if they get out, they're going to be in worse mental health shape. So that doesn't make us safer. Now, the juvenile system, that one is focused on rehabilitation. That acknowledges the statutes are written, the sentences are written, the procedures are written with the understanding that kids are developmentally different than adults. Their brains are still physically developing. It takes humans 25 years to build their brains. So they're still under construction. They do not think like adults. They're more impulsive. They value rewards compared to risks. They think a reward is going to be like the best thing ever. And it's so exaggerated when you hear teens and adolescents talk and they're so extravagant in their phrasing. They really believe what they're saying. They are just so excited about a reward. And the risks kind of they don't really pay a whole lot of attention to them. They certainly don't think about long-term consequences. Now, for a 10-year-old boy, he is not going to get help in the adult justice system. No kid's going to get help in there. And considering it sounds like he has severe mental health problems, they'll probably try to medicate him if he continues through the adult system, isn't convicted, and goes to, even if he goes to Lincoln Hills or a child prison first, they will probably medicate him. And if he continues to, if they have trouble managing his problems, they will put him in solitary confinement. And if he continues to have problems in solitary confinement, or even asked to talk to a psychologist, this one might depend on the facility. They will put him in a room with nothing in it, and they will put him in, it's kind of a little bit like a straitjacket. It's this really heavy anti-suicide apron, and that's the treatment that he'll receive. In the juvenile system, they're going to be focused on individualized care for the particular child, in this case, the 10-year-old boy, and he will get mental health services. He will get services that are acknowledge where he is developmentally. They will meet him there and work with him. And it could take years before he can't be in a secure setting, or it could take months. We don't really know. So why would we send somebody away for life and harm them and harm them and harm them when we have a better alternative? And, when you're facing a life sentence, you're talking about approximately $2 million. If we're willing to invest $2 million to treat a child as if they're adult, which in reality they're not, if we're willing to spend that kind of money to basically harm them, why can't we spend less than that helping them? I think the juvenile system is a better alternative than the adult system.
Nikki, when you say those things that you say, it's very straightforward and chilling, and you show quite the contrast between the adult criminal system and the juvenile system. And, you know, every state, as you mentioned, determines at what age a youth is no longer considered juvenile and becomes an adult for criminal justice purposes. How do you think Wisconsin's laws should change as you look at other states?
So as we look at other states right now, so I'm going to call this a floor of juvenile court. The most common floor in other states is 14 years old for the adult system. So you have to be at least 14 years old to be an adult court, no matter what your behavior. That's internationally, that is the floor for the juvenile system. So here in Wisconsin, I think a good starting point would be saying no child under the age of 14 is allowed in adult court. And when kids are in adult court, 14 or older, then we need to look at all the different decision-making points and all the different services that are being offered. And we need to, including sentences, we need to make them so they are not adult sentences. They have to be less. So even if they're in adult court and it's public record, and it's harsher than if they are in juvenile court, because again, we're talking about retribution now, we need to modify so they're not being punished so harshly and take into account that they're not as blameworthy for their actions because their brains are still under construction and they do not have the capability to process and think and make decisions as the way adults do, especially when emotions are high. That's when you're going to see this really impulsive behavior, and their emotions can become pretty volatile in the adolescent years.
Nikki Olson leads Wisconsin Alliance for Youth Justice, founded the grassroots organization about a decade ago, as we talk about the future of our state's juvenile justice system and advocating for families navigating the system. Join the conversation, perhaps, how you view rehabilitation versus punishment. Your thoughts on trying youth as adults, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are with the founder of the statewide advocacy group, Wisconsin Alliance for Youth Justice. Nikki Olson is here, and getting Nikki's perspective on how the criminal justice system in our state may affect children's mental and physical well-being, the potential in the juvenile system for education, for rehabilitation. There's still time to add your voice to the discussion, 800-642-1234. Nikki, I want to get personal here. What led you on this path? Why did you start advocating for youth in the criminal justice system starting a decade ago?
Well, I'm building what I wish Wisconsin had had when my son and another 13-year-old boy were automatically charged as an adult, and my grandma is the person that died. So the experience, you know, was pretty awful and confusing and scary. I was scared for my child. It's amazing how much say you do not have over your child when people in these different departments want to get at them. And you can't invoke their Miranda rights. You can't, there's different ways that you just can't protect them. They can question your child without permission. There's misconceptions as to protections or rights that parents think they have because they're the parents and your permission is not needed. So I couldn't find anybody in Wisconsin to help me understand what was going on when I was, you know, first I didn't believe that he could possibly be involved in anything involving a death, especially somebody who was very close to her, close to both of us and other people in our family. So I didn't believe that. I didn't believe, because I tried to invoke his Miranda, and the investigators asked, you know, can we talk to him? I said, no, not without an attorney. And they got to him anyways. And they told me that, you know, that I can't invoke his Miranda. I'm like, no, he's only 13. So I just didn't believe them. It's like one disbelief after another. And then when his attorney, after he had been charged, after his attorney said, oh yeah, if the boys were 10, they'd be treated the same way. My first thought was I have an attorney here for my kid that can't read law. But then I saw the statute and it's pretty easy to read. He was right. So the investigators were right and the attorney was right. So it's just disbelieving. The reality is nothing like on TV. I couldn't find support here in the state. I couldn't understand what was going on. It was so confusing, so scary. And I just started looking outside of the state and I followed support that way. And then once things were a little bit more stabilized for us and the initial crisis was kind of passed, then I began learning and from these other advocates and these different orgs, these national orgs, and reading tons of reports. Thankfully, I love to research and read. And I started to build the support that I didn't have.
And spreading it to other families, spreading the knowledge you were gaining going through this real life trauma and then being able to perhaps help other families trying to navigate the system. What are your concerns for him as he serves a life sentence?
Well, my concerns are that he loses hope and just sort of gives up on any kind of a future. So right now, this advocacy network speaks to different people in their communities, or they'll talk to different elected officials and share their story, sort of like I'm telling you a little bit right now. And we're trying to raise awareness so we can have some changes to our laws. A lot of people don't realize what we're doing. I'm sorry. Could you repeat?
That's okay. I'm gonna jump in here and bring in Rebecca, who's joining us from Esko, Minnesota, with a story. Rebecca, what's on your mind?
I just want to applaud Nikki. I'm sorry if I get emotional, but my grandson has been in the Wisconsin court system on a criminal charge for 2 years, and he's 11 years old. And it's been more traumatizing for him to be going through an adult court system than if he had gone through the juvenile system and received the help that he needs. So I just applaud your work, because the court case is still not over with.
Oh, Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in. Nikki, what can you tell Rebecca?
Okay, did you say what state you are in?
I'm in Minnesota, but my grandson lives in Wisconsin.
Okay, your grandson is in Wisconsin. So if he's in the adult system, you might want to reach out to us. We have a Facebook page and we will end up verifying your identity before we get into too much details with you. However, we have people that have been there and done that. So, we'll share whatever information we can with you and our experiences. And we have quite a few people across the state. So, if you're in different communities or cultures, people. There's a good chance we have somebody, at least in a similar type of area or a similar type of situation. Yeah, please reach out to us.
How can we address this when the criminal justice system is designed to punish and not tackle the root causes of, as you mentioned, mental health and equity issues and oppression and injustices and systemic racism?
Yeah, so this 10-year-old boy, he is black, so I don't know if that factored into him being charged as an adult or not, but here in Wisconsin and most other states, people are disproportionately going to be treated as adult and receive harsher sentences if they are not white. Our Indigenous people are the ones that are most disproportionately treated as adults and have harsher sentences here in Wisconsin. So I think we need to be aware of that and kind of talk about to each other. It's like, all right, are we doing this for the right reasons? What went into this decision? And look at other cases. Maybe in the state, I had mentioned that there was it was a white girl in a different county in 2018, and she was moved back to juvenile court. So I think this boy should be moved back too.
We only have a few seconds left. I just want to ask you how you view policy change. Do you feel like the legislature is listening? And what message do you have for policymakers for youth as the new session gets underway?
The legislature are
Yes.
fantastic. They are regular people. We've talked to them so many times. I love it when we go in, and this is a not a partisan issue. When you're talking about youth justice and protecting kids, they're great to work with. There's a lot of educating and knowledge transferring to happen, but they listen and they learn and they ask lots of really good questions. I love it when we go in and somebody wants to share their story and the aide or the elected official begins talking about adolescent brain development and they're like really emotionally into it. It's just so gratifying to see that we do have support.
And
People
that there's
do.
listening. Yes.
Yes, there is.
Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Nikki Olson is a youth justice advocate and founder of Wisconsin Alliance for Youth Justice. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.